you didn't get a sheet, raise your hand. You didn't get a handout. I see two hands, three hands. You didn't get a handout. Raise your hand if you didn't get a handout. Four, I think. Right here in the middle, brother. Did I see a hand over here? Right here, brother, right there. Anybody else not get a handout? Amen. Choir, you did wonderful tonight. I appreciate you being here. Visitors, thank you for coming. And what a blessing it is to have you here with us tonight. And I'm sorry that I had to deal with that. And there's some things that preachers shouldn't have to deal with. And it always upsets me because here's the deal. When I have to deal with it, I get judged on how I dealt with something. But most people don't realize how much I put up with before we finally do something about it, all right? So I just want to let everybody know that we're trying to curb some things that's going on, making some people feel very uncomfortable, and messages that don't need to be sent out. And I need somebody to say amen. I love all you guys. But don't be messaging my wife. Been married to her for 30 years. Hey, and I'd hate to spend the next 30 in prison. Amen. In Jesus' name, anyhow. Let's get going in Matthew chapter number 28. It's not on your handout, so we'll just start with this. We're just kind of getting an introduction and getting going in this. Now listen, I need y'all to bear with me, all right? You're going to have to stay with me on this. Because what most people want out of this is they just want all the material and let them just go do their own thing. But that's not going to work, all right? So we need to make sure that we're following the process and how to do this, okay? So it's going to take a little more than just one time or one night to get this in. We're going to stay focused on this the best that we can. And for us to do that, it's going to require, once again, some commitment out of us as individuals, all right? So, as we look at this tonight, and with the thought of our revival and what we did in our revival, what Brother Malcolm taught us in revival, let's start off with Matthew chapter number 28, and we'll begin in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them." Now, my Bible class or my Bible students from our college, what's the first thing that you notice about this verse? Who's speaking? Exactly. And so we know that the speaker here is Jesus. I need somebody to help me. All right. Y'all stay with me. We're going to talk tonight. All right. You're free to say stuff. All right. And, don't be doing nothing crazy. All right. But anyhow, go back to that verse, Miss Michelle, if you will. Miss Michelle's helping us out up top. But in verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus," 18, one back. There we go. "And Jesus came and spake unto them," all right, "saying." So we know that Jesus is speaking and he is. And then we got to know what? Who's he speaking to, all right? So in this instant, he is speaking to the disciples, all right? The disciples, those that he has trained, all right? So he's speaking. We know the speaker and we know who he's speaking to, all right? Now we got to know what? What's he talking about? All right. What's he speaking about? Okay. Here we go. "All power." This is Jesus, right? The Son of God. God himself. Emmanuel. God with us. This is God speaking. All right. And he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All right. Is there any question? No. What he's saying without saying it is, I am. How about that? All right. All right. So "all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." All right. So we're to go and teach. We're to go and baptize. Teaching them what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus here is talking to the disciples whom he has trained, whom has been with him. Now, we ain't going to just say it was the 12, because it wasn't just the 12 that were there, but specifically the disciples that had followed Jesus. And he tells them, he says, look here, all power is now mine in heaven and earth, which has always been, but he's saying all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he gives instructions, right? So what is he talking about? A command. Is everybody with me? We got Jesus speaking. He's talking to his followers. And he's giving them instructions or a command. And that command is for them to go. All right? So go ye, therefore. All right? Now, does this passage of scripture apply to me? Absolutely. All right? So what we know from Bible college and from correct interpretation, that these verses are a command to us as well. Everybody in agreement or not? All right? So why is it, somebody help me right here, why is it, this is what I've been convicted about, I'm talking about the first night he got to preaching. The first thing that I got convicted about and stayed convicted about was this. I wouldn't dare, let me say this, I'm going to say it this way, please don't think that I'm being prideful about it, all right? But I wouldn't dare commit adultery on my wife. All right? Now, I understand I could fall, and I understand that. I don't want to say that with pride. But I mean, right now, standing here, I can say with all honesty that I would not go out there and get in an adulterous affair on my wife. All right? I can say with all honesty that I wouldn't go kill somebody. All right? I wouldn't. Alright, no matter how I talk about it and everything else, I might ask God to do it, but I wouldn't do it, alright? Stay with me. So, there's things that I would and you consider to be great sins that we would stand flat-footed right here in the church and testify to everybody in the church, I would not do that, right? Come on, help me out, y'all. Come on. Help me out. How many of y'all would go get you a little golden statue and put it up on your mantle there and bow down and pray to it, light candles all around? Y'all help me. How many of y'all would do that? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Don't be shy about it. How many of you would go and do that? Raise your hand if you would go and do that. Is anybody in here? Anybody? Why wouldn't you do that? It's wrong? Okay. I mean, do you believe it to be a sin? All right, so we know it to be a sin, and so there's no way that we would do something like that, but we also know this to be a command, and we don't follow it. So, man, that thing just jumped all over me. Yeah, I wouldn't put the statue up and light the candles and pray to a little Buddha or whatever it was, but yet I commit the sin by not going and telling the world if I don't go tell the world. And so I want you to be honest with yourself and don't make any moves. Nobody move right here. Be completely still and completely quiet. Now listen, people can hear you when you go, don't do that. But since you've been saved, have you been the witness that you should be? See, I heard some people say, no. All right. So let's go to Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. All right, so we know this is a command from Jesus, and the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 8 of Acts chapter number 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be, everybody say it with me, everybody say it real loud. All right, what am I to be? I'm commanded to go, and now in Acts chapter number 1, the last words we have from Jesus is that you and I are to be, all right, unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we have a command from Jesus to go and to teach, and what are we to teach? The things that he taught us, all right? Hey, let me ask you this. Did Jesus teach us some things? All right, if we don't know him, whose fault is it? He told us, right? We have knowledge, We have the knowledge right at our hands. So he's told us some things, and he says, I want you to go teach others what I've taught you. All right? Why? Because ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, when we hear that, how many of you automatically get scared? Come on, throw your hands up. I'm supposed to be a witness. Come on, throw your hands up. Be honest about it. You'd be doing it if you weren't scared of it. How many of us are scared and say, preacher, when I hear that word that I'm supposed to be a witness, it kind of brings a little anxiety into my life. Right? Because the fact is that we can talk about all kind of stuff. I mean, there's some of y'all going to come to me, Brother Larry, every time Brother Larry talked to me, it never failed. If he called me up, first thing out of his mouth, go Dogs! And me and him talk about the Bulldogs. He'd be asking me all kind of questions because he didn't follow them and I followed everything about him. He was a big Bulldog fan, but he didn't go through the website, do the stuff that I did and everything else. So he'd call me and ask me about them Bulldogs. How them Bulldogs doing? And that was our conversation, our icebreaker. How many of you have got a conversation that you kind of go with and that you talk to people about? Come on, y'all. Be sick. Come on. Man, if I'm hanging out with guys that ride motorcycles, I preach Sunday night. I preached Sunday night, and I told him, I said, man, I just got back from Panama City on the motorcycle, got in last night, preached this morning, drove all the way up here to preach to y'all tonight. You know how many people showed up after service and wanted to talk to me about Harley Davidsons? I seen pictures of everybody's Harley Davidson. Brother CT asked me to go play golf with him Tuesday morning. We got out there to the golf course. I'm standing on the golf course, and here comes the course superintendent on his little golf cart, and he says, hey, man, I used to ride. Let me show you my Harley. Huh? Why? Because it's easy for us to talk about things that we're interested in. You know, it's easy for us to have that conversation. I play golf with some guys, and they're big time hunters over in Kansas and everything else. And so while we were talking, I tell them, you know, I said, man, y'all the outfit from Kansas that hunts and everything else. He said, man, you a deer hunter? I'm like, well, I sure am. And so here we are having a conversation about hunting. We, by the time that thing was over with, we'd done killed quail, we'd killed turkeys, we'd killed, why? Because it's easy to talk about the things that we're interested in. But when it comes to our faith, it's almost like this fear, and it's not just you, it's for everybody, even me. I mean, there's times that I can just go up to somebody, and when it comes to, I do know, and I'll share it in a little bit, but there's times that I can just come up to somebody, I'm talking about somebody that's rough and start telling them about Jesus. And then there's times that I'm looking over there at some little old granny over there, and I don't even want to mention Jesus around her. Right? I mean, it's just, I don't know. All right, so with that thought in mind, we're to be witnesses, but we're scared to be witnesses. Let's take a look at our Sharing My Faith workshop. Let's begin this thing with a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We're only going to read the first 5 verses, all right, and they'll be up on the screen. They should be on your paper. Aren't they on your paper as well? All right, so let's read from 1 Corinthians. I thought I was going to be able to read that, but I probably need to go ahead and get to mine, all right? So 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, all right? In verse number 1, it says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Who's speaking? Paul. Who's he speaking to? Not just Corinthians, who's he speaking to? Brethren. Y'all see that word right there? We ain't talking about just the men. When we see the word brethren in the Bible, what are we talking about? Christians, believers. Thank you, Brother Mark. So, is this passage of scripture right now we can go ahead and testify without even seeing what it's about that it does apply to me? Because he is speaking to believers. If you're saved in the building tonight, say amen. Amen. Then it applies to you. All right? So, let's see what Brother Paul had to say. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You know what Paul said right off the bat? He didn't speak well. Does everybody get that? I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. Do I? He put in Kaiapash language. Amen. All right. Yeah. That's a good way to say it. All right. But what he's saying here is that I didn't speak well. That's your first blank on there. I think Miss Michelle has it up there. Go on to that, Michelle, and I'll read the verses as we go through. But he did not speak well. That's one of the things that Paul wanted us to know right off the bat. He wanted believers to know that when he came to them, he did not speak well. Matter of fact, in verse number 5 of the passage of Scripture, I'm sorry, verse number 4 of the same passage of Scripture, it says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." He said, I didn't have the vocabulary for this. I did not speak well. Is everybody with me? Not only that, but he says this. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Verse number 3, "And I was with you in weakness." So not only did Paul say that he did not speak well, but he also said, number 2, that he was weak. I need somebody to help me right here. How many of you can testify and say, "Brother Robbie, I don't speak too well. I kind of get nervous around people." Come on, y'all, help me out. I kind of get nervous around people, right? I mean, this is what Paul, this is Paul, greatest missionary that you and I have record of. And he's saying, "Man, I didn't speak too good. I didn't come with excellency of speech." And in other words, I wasn't some great orator or some great preacher. He said, I had a hard time articulating words. All right. See, that was bigger words than what Paul had. And I'm reading that. All right. Number 2, he was weak. He said, I came to you in weakness. How many of you ever felt weak when you're sharing your faith? You're trying to talk to somebody about Jesus. You feel weak. Most people feel weak because of a lack of knowledge. Come on, help me out now. Man, most people, the reason that we don't share our faith and the reason that we don't talk about Jesus is because we're worried somebody might ask us a question that we can't answer. We're worried, sure enough, as soon as we start talking about Jesus, somebody's going to try to get us to expound doctrine that we have not studied. And so what do? We're in weakness. How many of y'all are in weakness? Raise your hand, women. Come on, say amen. All right, so Paul's qualifications to witness, he said he didn't speak well. Paul said he came to them in weakness, which means that he wasn't coming in boldness and strong. And then he says this, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear." Oh, I need somebody to help me. Have you ever felt that when you're trying to witness somebody? He experienced fear. I mean, Paul, the same one that said that he was willing to, I mean, he went to the death for Jesus. But yet he said when it came to speaking, he did it in weakness and in fear. Now check this last one out. The Bible says, "And in much," say it with me, "trembling." Now come on, y'all. That don't sound like the greatest missionary that ever walked the face of the earth. That don't sound like the Paul that you and I know that wrote thundering with boldness as he called out sin in this very church. He says, "Man, when I first got into this thing, I didn't speak well. When I first got into this thing, I was weak. When I first got into this thing, I was fearful. When I first got into this thing, I came in trembling." And I know some people that the thought that they might have to share the gospel. Now I say, "Preacher, I ain't never seen anybody tremble." You ain't never watched somebody stand up here and sing. Hey, I need somebody to help me right here. Listen. Jackson's one of my favorite singers in the world. All right. But Jackson, when he first started singing in front of y'all, that microphone was doing this. Some of y'all might remember, but Jackson would do this. Y'all help me. One of the best singers I know sang in all kind of bars. Is everybody all right? Sang all kind of parties and this, that, and the other. Had his band. They did all this. Us wrote songs. I mean, he's wrote songs. He's done all of that. But there's times. Hey, y'all don't know that until you get up in front of a crowd. I need somebody to help me. I remember the first time I had to preach in front of Brother Larry. Yeah. I was like a freshman in college, and they called me up to preach to show Brother Larry how the college was doing. Yippee. Hey, and you know what they gave you to preach with? Oh, it was divine. I love it when they hand me this. I can hide my hands. I can do all that other stuff. But when they give you a microphone and you got to talk in it while you're talking to everybody, I need somebody to help. Hey, it's a natural. I just want you to know it's natural. I want you to know the things that you experience and the things that every single one of us that are sitting in here, you probably got one of those. One of those things right there goes on in your mind and in your thoughts. Just at the thought of, oh, I'm supposed to be a witness. But Paul says, hey, Paul, the greatest missionary, said, I experienced all them things too. And yet he was a witness. So are we qualified to be witnesses? Everybody's going to have to answer. We ain't going any farther. Are we qualified to be witnesses? Absolutely. If Paul dealt with all that and you and I feel all that, then hey, we're just as qualified as Paul was to share our faith. And of course, if you know anything about Paul, how did he preach Jesus? Through his story. Through his story. All right. So, we're getting to that. Now, so we see that Paul's qualifications to witness. We see he did not speak well. He was weak. He experienced fear and he had trembling. So we're all qualified. Amen. So now let's look at two principles in evangelism. All right. So two principles of evangelism that we want to understand. We're going to give you some verses on this. I think they're on your paper. Are they on your paper too? They're not on your paper. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says this. Paul is talking to this church at Corinth. And, of course, as you know, in the beginning of chapter 3, you may not know this, so just bear with me for a moment. But in the beginning of chapter 3, Paul is telling them that I've not been able to give you meat because you're carnal. He said, you babes in Christ, you've not grown any spiritually. I've not been able to do that. And he says, you're fighting over some things. There's been some division caused. And you're saying, I'm a disciple of this guy, or I'm a follower of this guy, or I got baptized with this guy, or I got to do this. So anyhow, Paul says this in verse number 6. He says that I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. Does everybody see that verse? All right. So listen, we're going to give you two principles in evangelism that's going to help take the pressure off of you sharing your story. Now, we all agreed that when them qualifications, we got some pressure on us. Can I get a witness? All right. So for us to have these two principles is going to take some of that stress off of us. And some of that a fear off of us. And this is what the first principle is. Evangelism is a process. It's a process. All right. So let's go back to our verse if we can. And it says, I have planted, Apollos, but God. Do you understand that it's a process? Somebody has to plant a seed. Somebody has to water it. But it's God who gives the increase. This is why Paul said it like this in our verses that we've already read. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul said it wasn't my words that got people saved. Amen. God gave the increase. Are y'all seeing that? Amen. Is everybody seeing that? So, I have planted, Paul said, I planted. Somebody else watered, but God gave the increase. So, listen, It takes some pressure off of us. I share my story. I may be the one planting. I might be the one watering. But it doesn't matter if I'm planting or watering. It ain't my responsibility to give the increase. That's all on God. So my job gets real simple. I'm planting or watering. And let me tell you something about planting and watering. It's the same thing. I need somebody to help me. It's the same thing. You're not going to change anything whether you're planting or watering. It's the same thing. Planting a seed is simply this. You go and you start the conversation, or you start their intellectual process. And then somebody else comes along and shares their story, and it waters what you planted. But it's a story still. Is everybody with me? And they may have already planted a seed, and then you come along and share your story, and that seed is watered. And sooner or later, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the saving of the Holy Spirit, God will give the increase. Is everybody with me? Now that takes the pressure off of me. What that means is this. I don't have to confront you and stay in your face for 2 hours until you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. We have been taught that if a door is opened up, we need to... Right? Ain't no telling how many people has been ran off from church. Don't care nothing about talking to somebody that's from church. Why? Because somebody got overzealous, kept on and kept on and kept on when they should have just planted and moved on. Or watered and moved on. In other words, you do not have the responsibility of making someone get saved. Please understand what I'm saying. You don't have the ability to make somebody get saved. You have to leave that up to God and the individual. And what you need to understand is evangelism is a process. You may only get to plant the seed. You may never know. Look at me. You may never know if that person got saved until you get to glory. I want you to think about that. You may never know that that person got to save until we get to glory. But you did your job, because what's your job? To plant or to water. Listen, to be witnesses. Okay? All right, is everybody with me? Two principles in evangelism. First one, evangelism is a process. Number two, God is responsible for the results. Not me. God is responsible for the results. So this is what it says. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 7. So verse number 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Verse number 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything. Paul, listen to what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, in the verse before he said he planted. Now he's saying, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Now he's saying Apollos ain't nothing. He said it's God that giveth the increase. All right? So the responsibility, listen to me, if we understand the principles of evangelism, then it makes it much easier to go and to share our story. Oh, they're going to get mad at me, preachers. So what? You do it in such a manner that you leave the door open for somebody else. But you have the responsibility of sharing your faith, being a witness. I don't have the responsibility of making them get saved. I think this is something that hurts a lot of people when it comes to witnessing. Because we rush right out there and we're all fired up about it. We're all excited about it. And we go and we share our story and we get shut down. And we walk away like, oh, this don't work. But I just planted. That's what you did. It does work. You planted a seed. Apollos or Brooke Dowling or Brother Herman or Brother Jesse, Miss Ellen is going to come along and they're going to water a little bit. But even they ain't going to get to see somebody get saved. It's going to take Miss Lucy, Miss Jessica, Miss Melissa, Brother Trent, Brother Dalton, Brother Gary, and they're going to water a little bit, and God's going to give the increase. And they're going to come in here and say, praise God, I got to lead somebody to the Lord. But it never would have happened if you didn't plant the seed and somebody didn't come along behind it and water it a little bit to get them to the place where God gave the increase. So, when we understand the principles of evangelism, it takes the burden. It takes the pressure off of us. We're just to be a witness. Is everybody with me? Amen. All right. So, let's look at our goal in evangelism. All right. And let me stress this. Write this down somewhere up there beside two principles in evangelism. I want you to write this down. Leave it so the next person will be able to follow up. Don't leave an individual witnessing to them where they shut down anybody that might come to them later. In other words, if they don't receive it, then man, you leave, you bow out. Listen to this word, we don't like it. Humbly. And leave the door open for somebody else. You planted the seed, but leave the door open for somebody else to come and water it. I need somebody to hear me right here, because there's going to be somebody that's going to say something ugly. Well, what do you mean you don't want to get saved? You pray right now and get saved. Leave the door open for somebody else to do it, all right? So our goal in evangelism, let's take a look at it. Each one, everybody write each. Boy, that's a tough word, ain't it? Each one, number two, reach one. And number three, teach one. So, what's our goal in evangelism? Each one, if you're one, raise your hand. Come, I ain't moving to everybody raise their hand. Raise your hand. Each one, reach one. All right, Brother Chip, how many people got in the building tonight? 114. So if each one reach one and teach one, how many should we have in the building? Oh, we got some mathematicians in the house. 228. And if each one reach one and teach one, how many will we have, Miss Melissa? 456. All right. Some of y'all are on top of it. They're like, I know where he's going with this. I'm jumping ahead. All right. 456. I need somebody to help me. And if each one reach one and teach one, how many then? 912. Is everybody all right? And we're doing two services. And both buildings are full. So we're talking about a third service, because if 912, each one, reach one, teach one, it's the process of multiplication. We've got it wrong. We're trying to add to the church. And the truth is that you and I have been instructed, our goal is for each one to reach one and then teach one. All right. So what do you think we're to teach them? what Jesus taught them. I'm with you there. But what do you think we ought to start off with? Because some people, this is what gives us those, man, the scariest thought is that I'm going to have to actually sit down with somebody and teach them Bible. Thank you. Say that real loud, Miss Logan. Tell them how to tell their story. My job is to reach one and to teach them how to tell somebody else about Jesus. Right? Come on, y'all, help me now. So our goal in evangelists, our evangelism is each one, reach one, teach one, to reach one. To reach one. That's what we're trying to do, all right? Let's not make it complicated. And I know I have made it complicated. I told y'all we're going to learn all this, and man, we want you to go out there and disciple people, but I want to, let's break it down and just make it simple. Let's work on one thing. And this one thing is this. Let's work on telling people our story and seeing people get saved. Because there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell. While people are going to church, are comfortable in church, have never invited anybody to church, never told anybody their personal testimony, most people don't even know that they're saved. We're missing. We can complain about how the world is all you want to, but if you're not doing anything to change that. Man, y'all gotta get more lively in this, all right? The truth is that we have been commanded to go, to be witnesses. So our responsibility is each one, reach one, and teach one. Our strategy in evangelism. Now we're getting to some of the good stuff, all right? Are y'all ready? Well, it's all been good. But this is the first part. This is the first thing that we have to, we're going to go through this, but this is what we have to do. Our strategy. How are we going to evangelize? How are we going to evangelize? Number one, prayer. Is that a blank for y'all? Number one, prayer. Number two, care. And number three, share. Now, wait a minute. See, we want to get that thing backwards. We want to share. Act like we care. And then if we get in trouble, prayer. I need somebody to help me, all right? But we missed it. So prayer, it has to start. Before we can, our strategy, before we can do this, before you can be an effective witness, you got to start it off with prayer. You got to start it off with prayer. We're going to go through these three things, all right? But prayer has to be number one, and that's going to be our emphasis tonight. We're fixing to be done. But this is going to be our emphasis tonight is prayer. Now, next week, we'll talk about care. Because the fact of the matter is that nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Okay? So before we ever get to share our testimony, we're going to have to work on caring. What does that look like when you're talking to somebody about Jesus? It looks like listening to what they got to say. It looks like being interested in them. Let me stop before I get to preaching. All right, now, so prayer, all right? This full circle, we start off with prayer, all right? So what do you think? What do you think we ought to pray for? Bob, somebody said Bob. Who said Bob? That's good. We're going to get to Bob in a little bit. Not quite yet, but we will get to Bob. All right. So we're going to start off. I want you to listen to this quote. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. All right. Everybody with me? Who gives the increase? What did I preach Sunday morning? What was my first point Sunday morning? Who, Dalton, listen to Dalton over there, preacher's kid. Anybody else know what Dalton, that ain't sitting around Dalton and heard what he said? What was my first point Sunday morning? Don't go without God. It makes sense. The disciples were told to go back to Jerusalem and to wait on who? The Holy Ghost. They were to go back and wait on the Holy Ghost. Then verse number 8 says, but after that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses. Does everybody get that? So, before we can be a witness, let's go, y'all ain't even believing me, alright? Let me go back to the verse. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. When? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Does everybody see that? I can't go and do this without God. Listen to me. The reason that you and I struggle so much to witness to somebody is because of the flesh that you and I are wrapped up in. Let's just be honest about it. One of the most spiritual things that was left for me and you to do is to tell somebody else about Jesus. And why do you think you have such a hard time with the most spiritual thing that you could possibly be doing for God? Because of your flesh. Come on, y'all, help me. Because of our flesh, pride gets in the way. Fear gets in the way. The Bible says God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but yet fear gets in the way. All these things get in the way. What is it? It's our flesh. Right? So we got to start this thing off in prayer. For what? Number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Are you saved? I'm going to move over here to this side. Are you saved? Is everybody saved in this building? Amen. If you don't be lying. God's listening to you. God knows. God, don't make God sit up there and go, no, you're not. You know you lie. You know you're lying. All right. All right. So if we're saved in the building, then do we have the Holy Ghost? Yes. We've been indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But we need the filling of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it is the flesh that keeps us from doing this. So, our first thing we pray for is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we don't go without God. Oh, y'all better help me tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, and be not drunk with wine. I had somebody tell me one time, I can't find one verse in the Bible that says drinking is wrong. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let's look at the principle of this verse. We are not to be influenced, led, or guided by wine. But in comparison, the filling of the Holy Ghost means that we are influenced, led, and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you this. Y'all be honest with the preacher. Do you think that you can witness without the filling of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Let me tell you why. Because when the Holy Spirit is leading, you won't walk past that person you've walked past for the last 2 years. So we have to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Before we can be a witness, we have to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter number 4, verse 31, 32, and 33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost And they spake of the word, and they spake the word of God with. You want to know why you and I struggle so much to tell somebody about Jesus? Because we ain't filled. When they prayed for the filling, they received the filling, and the Bible says that they spake the word of God with boldness. And with great power gave the apostles witness. What are we supposed to be? Of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Listen here. You and I will never be effective witnesses if we won't pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Brother Malcolm, he says it this way. He says the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when you get God. The filling of the Holy Spirit is when God gets you. Oh man, that was good stuff. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when you receive God. The filling of the Holy Spirit is when God receives you, gets all of you, all right? So, what does that look like, preacher? I'm glad you asked. It looks like confession and forgiveness and prayer, number one. If I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, confession and forgiveness and prayer. Basically, as you can see there, it's untying yourselves. The illustration of a sailboat. A sailboat only moves with the, but before it can move with the wind, the sails have to be untied. And before you can move with the wind or the Holy Spirit, you and I have to be loose from some things. Confession and forgiveness. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, before we get started in the mornings, we got to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. How do we get the filling of the Holy Spirit? We got to get untied from some things. That means if you have aught against your brothers, you got to take care of it. Forgiveness. Confession. You got sin in your life? Help me. Does that scare y'all? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession shouldn't scare the first one of us. We ought to run to Jesus. Every time we sin. Why? Because He offers forgiveness through confession. Number two, complete submission in prayer. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen, if we're going to be effective witness for God, we're going to have to be in submission to God. That means we do what God tells us to do. I'm going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit by confessing my sins, forgiving others, whatever. I'm going to get all of that out of my life, and then I'm going to submit myself. God, whatever you tell me, I'll do. Now listen, I need somebody to hear me right here. There's some of you, that man, if God asked you to do something great, you'd jump out there and do it in a heartbeat. But the problem is, God won't ask you to do something great because you've not done the little things. I need somebody to help. Hey, y'all remember Naaman? You remember a Naaman, he come and he's like, man, I thought he was gonna slap his hands over my head and tell me that I was healed. And his servant said, Master, if he'd have asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. But he's only asked you to dip in the Jordan River seven times. and you're angry about it. Y'all stay with me. We want God to do something great with us, but God can't trust us with something little. God can't trust us with something little. Because we proved that we will override the Spirit and let our flesh dictate what we do. So many people, listen to what it says. They're being led by the flesh, carnally minded, instead of spiritually minded. If God says stop, if God says go, simple stuff. But you waiting on God to tell you to go preach to 15 million people. God said, you won't even leave the house right. I need somebody to help me. All right, now, B, let's get into Bob. Let's get into Bob. Not only are we going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, but we are going to pray for Bob. How many of y'all remember what Bob is? Number one, burden for the lost. A burden for the lost. How are we going to pray if we don't have a burden? How are we going to be a witness if we're not burdened for lost people? The Bible says Jesus had compassion when he seen the multitude. What do you have when you see the multitude? Got to pray for Bob. Number one, a burden for the lost. Number two, what was it? Opportunity. Opportunities to share. And what was the last B? Boldness to share. So we're praying for a burden for the lost, an opportunity to share, and then a boldness to share. Colossians chapter number 4, verses 2 through 4 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He's praying for an opportunity and the boldness to speak. So, tomorrow morning, what are we going to pray for? Filling of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to do that? Come on, y'all, talk to me now. Y'all got a handout. Y'all ought to be, I know I'm hot too. I don't know who's got it 150 degrees in here, but it ain't me, all right? I've got no control over the air conditioners. I'm about to die. But we're fixing to get out of here, all right? So we got to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We do that by confession and forgiveness. We do that, right? Come on, help me. We do it by confession and forgiveness. We do that by complete submission and prayer. But then we're going to pray for Bob. Oh, Bob. Yeah, hey, you asked my preacher, who can I pray for? Pray for Bob. A burden for the lost, an opportunity to share and boldness to share, all right? Now, lastly, I pray over a list of prospects. Is this on there, Michelle? Pray over a list. It's not on there. All right. Write that down. Number three, pray over a list of prospects. Brother Malcolm, when me and him was talking about it, he said, Brother Robbie, please emphasize this. How are you going to get a burden for the lost if you're not praying for lost people? So how do I make a list of people to pray for? Do you know anybody that's lost? Everybody in the building, do you know anybody that's lost? They ought to be the first person on your prospect list. Right? Write it down. Put it in your phone. That's who you're going to pray for tomorrow morning. As you share your faith, the people where you planted seeds, you may not get to see them. Come on, y'all, help me now. You may not get to see them get saved, but you planted a seed. So what are we going to do with them? We're going to pray for them. If we're going to have a burden for the lost, we're going to have to pray for the lost. So, first person that you think of, when I say who, do you know anybody that's lost? Put them on the top of your list. Then the people you come in contact with and you get to share your story with, put them on the list and pray for them. Hey, and when they get saved, celebrate it. If you know about it, if not, keep praying for them. They still need to be saved. Just because you didn't get to do it doesn't mean that they don't need to be saved. I need somebody to help. And there's always somebody that's going to say, well, I don't know any lost people because I've been saved a long time and I just don't know any lost people. And Brother Malcolm mentioned this in one of the services. Take your phone, look through your contacts. Start off in your contacts, go from A to Z, and I promise you there's somebody lost in there. So let's quit acting like we got all of our stuff together and we don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. All right. How many of y'all, did it help you tonight? All right. So what are we going to do? What are we going to practice till next Wednesday night? Prayer. Don't be going to care because you don't know nothing about care until we get to care. So we got to prayer. Right? Somebody help me. We got to be in prayer. We've got to learn the process. And the process starts with us being in prayer. Filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we got to confess our sins, we got to forgive others, and we have to submit to the Holy Spirit. And then we got to pray for a burden, we got to pray for opportunities, we got to pray for boldness. We start praying with our contacts or our list of prospects, all right? All right, is anybody, any questions? Is there any questions on it? Now listen, I've had some folks and I've had several people that's come up to me trying to share their story and they've not gone through the process. Is everybody with me? I've had all kind of stuff come to me. All right. You're not understanding what we're trying to do. So let's wait till the material is taught and then we'll help you get your story and everything lined up. Okay. But don't jump the gun. I know everybody's excited and they want to do stuff, but what some of the stuff that's been brought to me is completely missing what we're trying to do right here, all right? So hang with me. How many of you is coming back next Wednesday night? Don't lie, God's looking. Hey, all right. I look forward to seeing y'all next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, we're going to talk about caring. And if we have time, we'll get into sharing. All right. And, like I said, I ain't going to hold you up and burden you for a long time, but we got to get this in and then we can start the process and I'm going to do the best I can and you help me, but we're going to stay with this. I really want to see this done. There ain't no sense in me preaching another sermon to y'all on Wednesday night if we can't do a basic command that God gave us. So stay with me, all right? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you for an opportunity to come to church, Lord, and learn about you, learn about our responsibilities. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to take it seriously. And Lord, that we would be witnesses for you in such a manner. Lord.